Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with another episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. This is Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, and the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Pop Culture Cosmos, PCC Multiverse, also as well Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and coming up here in a not-too-distant future after the Royal Rumble. I've already been told and been asked and been warned by John Orlando, my tag team partner, that a State of Pro Wrestling will come shortly after the Royal Rumble as well. So go ahead and check it all today. The Pop Culture Cosmos, and big shout out to all the radio stations around the world that play us right here, the Pop Culture Cosmos. And last but not least, if you need the latest news and info on the world of pop culture, please go ahead and follow us on Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook. And it wouldn't be a Pop Culture Cosmos without my good friend. He is, according to the box I see right below him, the Pampers King of the Happy Hoarder Collectibles that he is. Please go ahead and follow him today at Happy Hoarder Collectibles or check out online. You can buy great pop culture stuff right now at happyhoardercollectibles.com and make sure you are aware of where he's at and when he's at on whatnot. It is a good man indeed. He is the mastermind behind it all at Happy Hoarder Collectibles. It is Josh the Great Peterson. And Josh, great to have you here, but as I always say, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was out buying diapers last weekend, I think, and it's always shocking, like, looking at the price of diapers, especially when you buy them in the big box.
Formula was the big thing for me.
Formula, yeah, it's all, but every time I'm like, oh, dang, that's expensive, and then, but every time I go to the store, I say the same exact thing. I'm like, oh, man, that's it's crazy expensive, but, it is, you know, and I guess that's just they know that, you know, they know that. That's why they charge you so much for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, if you can find a less expensive way to take care of infant waste disposal, you will be a trillionaire. I can guarantee you, my friend.
You know, I think Elon Musk needs to hurry up and perfect that teleportation technology. A little like chip inside the diaper, and when they poop, it just whoosh, goes somewhere else, like onto, you know, the desk of your enemy.
Or like in Loki, where it goes into that different world altogether, which we will probably see a little bit more of, as I'm hearing in the hints in Deadpool 3 coming out later this year. But looking like it's going to be a great episode. We got I am heavily medicated. So I'm going to try and get it out through this episode. For me, it's the first illness I've had in 4 years, so I'm going to try and get it out as best I can. We are going to be talking a lot of great things, including the thing that Josh and I, we'd always love talking about the best of pop culture, but the thing that Josh and I love to talk the most about when it comes to the world of pop culture for each and every year is the worst of pop culture for 2023. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do love talking about the worst of pop culture. Plus, we'll have predictions for 2024, which may include his thoughts on the Xbox Developers Direct and some of the games that came from there. I actually had some good things to say. I might have a prediction coming from there as well. Plus, also as well, I wanted to go ahead and drop some words of praise for Peacock once the once the butt of all of our jokes here in the streaming world when it came to the Pop Culture Cosmos, they are a joke no more, and we'll explain why. Plus, Pokemon with guns? Why it's a huge hit. It's Pokemon with guns. It's Pow World, and we'll tell you why you need to know about it on the show as well. But first, my friend, you said you wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about Echo. You've got a little taste so far. I had already mentioned my thoughts to Melinda on Echo, and I will talk a little bit more about it with Jeff Sloboda on an upcoming episode. I know he wants to talk about it heavily. Your thoughts, though, on Echo so far?
All right, let me ask you a question first. Is Echo on Disney Plus, or is it just on Hulu? Because I watched it on Hulu.
It's Disney Plus.
Okay, because I watched it on Hulu, and I had to watch, like, commercials, literally every 5 minutes. And
no, I watched D Plus.
Okay, I was like, yeah, for some reason I was thinking it was only on Hulu, but it was like Disney Plus overseas or whatever. So I'll have to go back and watch more on Disney Plus. But
I'm telling you, it's going to be one thing eventually.
Yeah, you hope so. It just doesn't make sense to put it out on two platforms, though. Like, I know they want to keep more adult-oriented content over on Hulu, but, you know, they've already pulled the Netflix Marvel stuff over to Disney Plus, so why not?
The line is blurring, my friend. They will just absorb it one of these days and just get it over with.
Yeah, just rip the old Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. So, Echo, I hate to say this, but I'm not crazy invested in the character, and I'm almost at the end of episode two. I'm not crazy invested in what the character has going on right now, and I think it's because as soon as I found out that as soon as she made that line, like she's about something about being at like a queen pen, I was like, I don't like where this is going.
Well, to me, again, I thought the story outside of the Native American aspect and lore that they go into, which was actually pretty intriguing, and then also Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin, I thought that part of what she was dealing with was good. It's just everything else that was very derivative, and unfortunately, they spent way too much of the time on it, and throughout the series, I found myself not caring. And when you go through a series not caring, it doesn't seem to be very enjoyable. And that to me was the thing I came from it. And I think that's the reason why that Disney just threw it out there, threw all five episodes out there. Yeah. I'm still faulting them for not publicizing Marvel season two of What If. I thought that was very good, but they just threw it out there day by day by day at the back end of the year, like no one was noticed or care. Mm-hmm. But with Echo, they kind of gave it a little bit of hype. They did the Netflix deal where they threw all the episodes out there once. I just think that this was another disappointment for them. And I think that their decision to retool the Marvel Cinematic Universe, both television and film, was a right step because of what I'm seeing so far on the screen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The Native American stuff and Echo is interesting. I did love, you know, with the fight scene with her and Charlie Cox's Daredevil. I don't understand what, because it's been a long time since I've watched a Marvel show. So I've started Hawkeye not too long ago, but I only got like two episodes in. I need to go back and finish it. But I was looking forward to this because they're like, you do not need to have any other history in the MCU. And the whole episode was like a last time on Hawkeye episode. Yes. So I was like, what? Why would you do that? So now I have to go back. I'm stopping at episode two and I'm going to go back and watch Hawkeye. But like, why?
Which is the best Marvel series, I will tell you, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good. But I just don't understand, like, why would you say you don't need to watch anything else? You just go in and watch this. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. They did show the highlights from Hawkeye. And if anybody gets a chance to do what Josh is going to do, check out Hawkeye on Disney Plus, because it is the best Marvel series in my opinion.
Before you watch Echo, preferably.
Yes, before you watch Echo. It might help it out. For me, I watched it. I enjoyed Hawkeye thoroughly, and still, I just don't think that how they serviced the character in the series was well enough. It's, again, a very derivative gangster underworld plot was thrown in there. And I just, kind of didn't make very much sense to me as far as why I needed to go ahead and watch the Echo series. But yeah, it is what it is. It's out there. And if you get a chance, let us know. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com, but you are going to go ahead and check out and finish it up as far as it's concerned on Echo and Hawkeye.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I got to go back and watch Hawkeye. So I have not seen. I've just been like dabbling in the shows because I've not actually watched like Ms. Marvel all the way through. The only good Marvel TV shows that I've like watched from front to back, like we watched, we watched the Netflix stuff, obviously, but that was before it was canon. My wife did enjoy Moon Knight. We did enjoy the first season of Loki. We haven't watched the second season. And we watched WandaVision all the way through. Not amazing, but, you know, not bad. It's just there's too much. It's too much to keep track of. And I keep wanting to sit down. You know what I mean? Like when you say, oh, I'm going to watch that, and then just time doesn't allow you to do that. You got it takes you months to watch something that's only like, what, 10 episodes.
Well, I will say that again, that Hawkeye was one of the best of my, was it 21? I think it came out.
Yeah.
22. Yeah. 20. Anyways, it was one of the best of that year for me in pop culture. And I'm hoping everybody will get a chance to take a look at that, because it is one of the few Marvel TV shows I would say you need to invest your time in. But it is Marvel's Echo. It is available now on Disney Plus and Hulu. Watch it on Disney Plus if you get a chance. Less commercials. Less commercials. That's always a good thing. Yeah. So I will say, though, before we hit the break, my friend, when it comes to Peacock, speaking of another TV service, before we get into Pokemon with guns, that's going to come up after the break. Want to hear your thoughts on Peacock. I was told the backlash of a NFL game recently in the past couple weeks, but before the season ended, the backlash of people saying they would never, ever watch a game on Peacock. They would never, ever watch an NFL game on a sole streaming service, because all the weeks now that Amazon has been having theirs once a week, and oh my gosh, it's so terrible. Well, the Amazon ratings for them have been pretty solid, and there's 23 million that ended up watching it. So all the people that were trying to ban, you know, people from watching it on Peacock, or banning Peacock, or strike against Peacock, or whatever, and didn't seem to be working out very well, because they got 23 million views for Peacock for that NFL game. But soon after that, the series Ted started, which is a prequel to the Ted movies back in the early 90s, but it still, of course, stars, you know, the lovable teddy bear himself. But that has been a major hit for them. They do have Poker Face on that channel, which is one of the best rated shows of last year. They also had Twisted Metal. They're not a joke anymore. You and I used to have fun at their expense. And I know I said this sometime last year, as far as Peacock beginning to go ahead and put out some decent stuff. Well, the joke is no more, because Peacock, I believe now, as of now, my friend, Universal is making it here to stay.
Yeah, you know what's funny is we got Peacock so that my kids could watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Mm-hmm. And we forgot that we had subscribed to it. So I was actually, you know, surfing through my apps on the Xbox the other day, and I was like, oh, Peacock. So I clicked on it, and their content is actually getting pretty stacked, you know, and they have some exclusive stuff. Like we watched Five Nights at Freddy's the other night, because, you know, people kept telling me I need to watch it. Not amazing, but, you know.
I will have more on that later, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I mean, they are getting a lot of things on there that are watchable. So I haven't really explored like a lot of the original, super original content, but yeah, I mean, it is definitely better. It's better now than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that. I mean, it's because they've actually wanted to go ahead and make it a better product. And that's good. Plus you have the full WWE roster there for now, as far as if you want to go on the way back or upfront live, premium live events, as they want to say. So yeah, it definitely is something that people need to be interested in. I know that money's limited and time is limited, and your streaming options are plentiful out there, and people are cutting the cord and cutting the streaming services now. And I get that. But if you are making a decision on which ones you should keep or stay, it is now becoming a much harder decision to cut Peacock because of what they're offering at this point in time, Josh.
It's strange too, because you know who created the streaming problem? I mean, Netflix has been doing it for a long time, but after Netflix, right, we saw all the TV networks looking at it, be like, oh, we should get into the streaming game. And now they are eating themselves off of live television. Because look at it, it's probably cheaper to stream an NFL. If you like buy the rights to the NFL game, broadcast, whatever, it's probably cheaper for them to stream it than it is for them to buy that airspace that the show would normally run on. So yeah, we're reaching a point where TV is like, oh, we need to get in on the streaming game, but they're also slowly destroying the TV game. Because you're right. You have your NFL games on Amazon. You have your NFL games on Peacock. You have hockey is now on HBO Max. You know, it's like it's where sports are everywhere. Like literally, you can't keep track of the apps. You know, the NHL or NFL apps can barely keep track of like where certain games are playing and on what services. So it is a very, very interesting landscape that we're living in right now, because you have all these people, there are services that rely on live TV because people want to watch these sports games. But now those services are probably going to bite the dust as more and more sports games end up on the streaming apps.
It is going to be very interesting to see how that lays out. Again, we have not seen as much, attrition as I've thought, because I thought 2023 would bring the rise of a lot of streaming services that would shut down. I haven't seen as many folded up as of yet, but I do think that there'll be a day and a time and a period where we'll see a 2, 3, or 4 of these specific streaming services go under and be absolved, just basically taken out. So it will be a battle of the fittest, and we'll see who survives. But it is no longer a done deal that Peacock will be one of those that doesn't survive. In fact, it is now thriving better than it has. It got the slowest start of any of the major premium streaming services. But yeah, definitely has more than made up for that as of now, Josh.
Yeah, no, it's funny because there's a lot of arrogance that came out the gate with them, because they were like, oh, we have The Office and we have Harry Potter and Jurassic Park and Fast and Furious. Like, we have some of the biggest like franchises and, you know, one of the hottest shows in the world, and people are going to dig us. And, that didn't sustain them.
Yeah.
But now they seem to be finding a way to sustain themselves. So, good for them. We'll see who comes out on top. I'm predicting in like 3 years, it's going to be down to 5 streaming services. And then, we'll see one dominant one within 20 years or whatever.
Absolutely. We'll wait and find out, but it'll be talking about it here on the show. That's for sure. What are your thoughts out there on Peacock? Please let us know your thoughts on that, and also on Disney Plus as well, Echo, or Hulu if you watch it there with more commercials. Please let us know your thoughts on Marvel's Echo and also the Peacock streaming service. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Has it been something worth watching? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. For the latest news and information, analysis, and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. Well, my friend, so much still to talk about on today's show. When you talk about all the different things that are going on in pop culture, Mean Girls is still doing pretty good on the charts.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Of course.
Is this a play or is this a reproduction?
It's a musical.
Oh, okay.
It's a musical reproduction of the actual movie that the original movie that's based off of. So almost like it's a Broadway reimagining, as far as it's concerned, a musical galore. But yes, that does add a lot of musical elements. And it has found a nice audience so far. So yeah, it's found a good audience. About $35 million over the course of the holiday weekend. It's still number one in a very slow weekend, but still, it's doing well. I mean, heck, it's doing better, thank goodness, than the swimming pool movie or the International Space Station. My God, man, I've been clamoring for years, my friend, for a Mass Effect film or series, and instead, the money combined from the night swimming pool, haunted swimming pool movie, and the International Space Station, aka ISS movie, you could have taken both those budgets combined and made a pretty damn good Mass Effect series or movie from it. That's all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, get off my soapbox.
Yeah, no, hey, stay on that soapbox, own that soapbox, because we do want a Mass Effect show, preferably a show, not really a movie, but yeah, we do want it, and it would be amazing and people would watch it. Like, look how many people tuned into Rebel Moon. Like, there's a taste, there's a desire for sprawling sci-fi epics that we're just not getting fulfilled.
The Beekeeper, with Jason Statham, that has been doing well overseas for a movie that's just got awful reviews, but it's still a movie that people are enjoying overseas. So it's closing in on $100 million worldwide for a movie like that, a low budget action flick, something that probably would have gone straight to DVD in recent times, or would have gone straight to Redbox or something like that. The Beekeeper is actually making a little bit of money. So you got to give that props. But yet ISS and Night Swim, it's irritating, my friend. It's irritating, I will say, though, that I will give credit, Anyone But You, the Sydney Sweeney romantic film, that did go over $100 million worldwide at the box office. I still say, though, that it would have done better, and Melinda agrees with me on this, had they not put it out when they did. I don't know why they still put it out this close to the end of the year. I think, it's finding an audience now later on in 2024, but I think it could have done better a lot sooner had they put it on right around Valentine's Day. I just think a non-Christmas rom-com, I know they're really hard to, I guess, make as far as money on at this day and age in 2024, but I thought that movie could have done a lot better had it been placed in February. But still, it's gotten over $100 million worldwide, and it might eventually make a profit after all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look at it too. Like, I didn't even know this movie came out. I know we talked about it, but I didn't even know that it came out until you talked about it on the show. And I think a lot of people too are like, their lives are so busy around Christmas, so they're not paying attention to ads or trailers or whatever on the television.
It just didn't fit for the Christmas holiday season. So I don't Melinda and I were just puzzled why it was there.
Yeah.
It found an audience though, like you said, after Christmas, it did, in the days after, right around the beginning of the year, it has found an audience. So props for it. So it looks like it might turn a profit after all, Anyone But You. But before we head to the break, my friend, I wanted to go ahead and talk about a certain video game that has come to our end. I didn't even mention to you yet what it was going to be on the show, and you already mentioned it. And that is a surprise hit. Although if you're really knowledgeable on the video game world, this isn't really too much of a surprise, but Pal World, a game with some very similar designs, a lot of similarities to a extremely popular game, has come out onto the charts and has sold over $1 million on Steam. It's also done very well on Xbox. People on Xbox are mad because they don't have enough servers to play the full 32-player version. They can only play 2 to 4 people online on the Xbox version, but on the Steam version, you have up to 300,000-400,000 players playing online currently. Why? Because this has been dubbed, unofficially, Pokemon with guns, with characters that look cute and lovable and just very Pokemon-ish, loaded with your favorite artillery. And the fact that you can capture other powered characters and humans has seemingly got everybody up in a roar over it. So it has garnered quite a bit of a concept as far as it's concerned, that it is Pokemon with guns. So your thoughts, my friend, on Pal World, its extreme success. Again, over 1 million sold in the first couple days, I think. Yes, it's already a massive hit, Pal World.
Yeah, I remember seeing it during a direct. I think it was like an indie direct or something at some point on the Xbox was showing it off. And I completely forgot about it until I signed on to Xbox Live a few days back. And my kids were like, oh, I want to play that. So we downloaded it, put it on the thing. I sat there watching one of my kids play. And then after they went to bed, I was like, oh, let me check it out. Let me get my hands on this thing and see what I feel about it. And I started about 9 o'clock. I blinked. It was like 1 in the morning. So that has not happened to me in a very long time. And yes, it does have a lot. They're striving to be Pokemon meets Zelda. because they got the towers with guns. You know, they got the towers. Ooh, we love the towers. We got to climb, and they have your glider and all that. And yeah, they just have these random like Pokemon looking things crawling around. You got to capture them. Like that's part of the old objectives. You're in your tutorial. You got to capture 30 pals and you set up a base and you can let them roam around and you build this house. I think the, you know, something I haven't played the main story yet. The main story involves like, oh, the mysteries and the towers, you know, when you wake up in this strange new world. What I really enjoyed about it though, is the crafting elements. Because it's, yeah, it is like a Pokemon-esque game, but there's all these like other things to it. You have to raise your character's level up. You have to chop down trees. You have to hit your little pickaxe on rocks and stuff to build a house. You build a pin for your pals. You can plant berries to feed yourself. And you really can't do anything in the game without feeding yourself because your character gets hungry. And so once their little food meter goes all the way down, they start to starve and like your HP slowly gets eaten away at. So you got to watch it. You got to watch hunger. You got to watch cold. So it's all about like crafting the right things to journey through this sprawling open world. And so far, I'm really loving it. I've built like a 3-story house. I've seen some pretty amazing things built on this game so far. You know, people really, the crafting system in Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, I was like, oh, that's amazing. And yeah, people did build some cool things, but I have seen some pretty neat things come to life on Pal World so far. And I'm enjoying my time with it. Will it wear out its welcome? That remains to be seen, but so far so good.
So far so good indeed. It is, of course, like I said before, Pal World. Pokemon with guns. Very interesting. You know, I don't know how long this will last as far as the interest into it, but if there are players like you out there that are enjoying it for nonstop for hours, who knows, my friend? Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, and I'm curious too, like if the Pokemon company is going to put out some sort of copyright infringement order or whatever.
I'm waiting for it, man. I've been waiting for it ever since.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they've gotten this far. You know, especially since this is Xbox has really been pushing this game, and Xbox is, you know, they're talking about wanting to acquire Nintendo a while back. I'm like, oh well, I mean, that's probably not the best way to go about a friendship with them, but more power to you.
What are your thoughts out there on Pal World and the thought that it could be a Pokemon with guns? Please let us know all of your thoughts. Are you ready to go ahead and shoot it up and capture? Or are you going to catch them all in Pal World? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Well, my friend, 1/2 hour down, 1/2 hour to go here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It is Josh, the great Peterson, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. You want to go and finish off the year that was in 2023 with our favorite subject, and that would be the worst of pop culture for 2023, my friend. So I think before we get into predictions on the future, predictions on the year ahead, I really think we should go ahead and finally dust off the year behind with, we've already talked about our best of. I talked about the best of with Melinda, and you talked about the best of last week right here, and I really think it's just time we go ahead and dust it all off by announcing our worst of pop culture for 2023.
That's actually a pretty small list for me, so I'm excited to talk about this, as I do not watch many things this year. Okay. So I know we had talked about one earlier that you're going to talk about, so I can definitely feed into that. I don't think we're ever going to disagree on something again like we disagree on King Arthur. So.
Yes. I'm not feeling good enough to go ahead and argue today, so I'll have to argue on it another day.
All right, you want me to lay mine out here real quick?
Yes, I will let you lay out yours, my friend.
Okay, so my on my the first thing on my list, I have Ant-Man Quantumania, or Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania. That was quite the train wreck. You know, I kept I kept waiting for it to like it was colorful, right? It was visually entrancing, but when the credits rolled, you sit back and you think to yourself, not a lot of substance here. And they didn't really, like, they were setting up Kang the Conqueror to be this next big bad, but you just didn't feel as intimidated by him as you did with when Thanos was introduced. Yeah, and I feel sort of fell flat.
I agree. It just was, you know, we talked about it then. It was just something where it was just, we gave it a slight thumbs up at best. And then the more it just, you think about it, it wears on you. And it's just, It's just not good.
You know, I'm trying to think, because the only like decent Marvel, like feature length Marvel film that came out last year was, to me, was Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Like I haven't seen the Marvels, but I'm hearing that's a pretty atrocious film.
The Marvels. Yeah, definitely. I'm waiting to actually see that on Disney Plus to get that taste. I'm not spending my money on it because of how disappointing the reviews came out for it. And unfortunately I will go ahead and wait for it on Disney Plus and spend my money there to see if it actually was that bad, or if it's something that maybe deserves a little bit of love. And we'll talk about it right here if that's the case. Again, spending $30-$40 at the movie theater, you need to go ahead and have that kind of impression on me that it's worth my time and money. And you know, these days the Marvel Cinematic Universe no longer gets a pass for me to go ahead straight into the movie theater and watching it. It's got to be something I think is going to be worth my time and money, Josh.
Which is sad, right? Because remember, every time a new Marvel film came out, we would always record shows right after the premiere when one of us had seen it. Like, we were willing to stay up to go see those movies and then talk about it on the show afterwards. But now you just don't get that anymore, because they've been consistently bummer, you know, and people are there's no expectation. People aren't expecting anything from them anymore, so they're not really fun to go check out on premiere night or whatever.
I can't say I blame you, my friend. But anything else didn't meet your eye in the past year in pop culture, my friend?
No, I got two more things. I got a movie and a show. Movie, Fast and the Furious 10 is the only movie, I think, in the past probably what, 3 or 4 years, that I have just shut off within 15 minutes of having it turned on. That was pretty bad. Like, the dialogue when Charlize Theron shows up at Vin Diesel's house was just so awful that I could not keep it turned on any longer. I got up. I was like, this is not a... I got very few minutes to spare on movies and stuff these days, and this is not something I want to waste those valuable minutes on. So I...
And I can't say I blame you. I can't say I blame you. That it was not good at all for you. Josh, you still there, my friend? I got you back. Looks like I'm getting you back right now. So yes, definitely looking forward to seeing what your thoughts are on the rest of your worst of pop culture for 2023. But Josh, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, my friend. You were just finishing up on Fast X and what an atrocious dumpster fire it was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So anyways, I shut it off within, you know, 15, 20 minutes just because that opening scene was so bad. But then I stopped to think about it. I don't think any of the other Fast and Furious movies were really that better. That's not a proper grammar. That much better. And I think the last like serious Fast film was the fourth one with when Paul Walker and Vin Diesel meet up again after Michelle Rodriguez's character dies. And then I look back, the rest of it has just been all spectacle, and each one has gotten successively worse, and
Right.
So I don't know. I think maybe I've had enough of Fast and Furious. I think my time with this franchise has come to an end.
Anything else that didn't meet your eye in the world of pop culture for 2023?
Yeah, The Witcher season 3 was pretty bad. I had high expectations because, you know, I love the world, love the show, love the games, love the lore, but there was just something
about...
The
spinoff was even worse.
The spinoff, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that. Like, the entire budget was seemed like they had like a $10 CGI budget. But yeah, Witcher season 3, I was expecting them to, you know, hear the fans, like Henry Cavill's last season and all that. I was expecting it to be really good, and it just did not hit that mark. Did you have a chance to watch any of it?
Yeah, it just felt like Henry Cavill was on his way out. You know, he already knew he was on his way out. He's on his way out, and they acted like he's on his way out. And I'm expecting The Witcher season 4 with whatever his name is going to be in there, whoever's replacing our what's his name from Hunger Games. It's going to be
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth, Chris's brother. Yeah, I'm expected to be even worse. So I'm never was a huge fan of The Witcher television series in the first place. I didn't think it was all that great. My wife liked it much more than I did. Yeah, and this, it's just, he knew he was gone. He's going to go do Warhammer. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm doing whatever it is I'm contracted to do, and peace. Yeah. I'm out. Yep, gone. Anything else, my friend, that was left to you as far as your devices on how bad it was for you for pop culture in 2023?
That's kind of it. Like, you know, like I said, it was a slow year. So I hope, you know, hopefully this coming year, I'll have more to say at the end of the year. But it was kind of a busy year, you know, raising kids and trying to stay awake after they go to bed to watch movies was a challenge.
Well, I, on the other hand, have a few on my list, some of which matches yours. In fact, everything that you said matches yours on that. Everything that you said that you hated or thought was disappointing for pop culture in 2023 happens to be on my list as well.
What?
Yes. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is like at the very top of the list. Again, I thought it was at the borderline, like a 5, 5.5, 6. Yes. Yeah. Not even a 6. I might've said a 6 at the time. It's not aged well. I watched it back and it's just not aged well. It's just not good. And it's just not something I enjoy. And seeing what's happened and taken place after since, it's just not made it any more enjoyable. It is not fun rewatching that particular part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Doesn't it make you wonder like what kind of train wreck though the Kang the Conqueror story was leading up to before Kevin Feige stepped in?
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder where the train was going off, because it looked like it was getting derailed and all the stuff. I mean, this ever since Avengers Endgame, they have been going in a bad direction, and you know, it's been very tough to watch and very tough to report on right here for, you know, for two guys who absolutely loved what they did at Disney and Marvel, you know, coming out of Avengers Endgame and seeing all that and to seeing where it's gone from here. It's really been disappointing, because again, you talk about the Marvels, that was so disappointing. I'm going to have to go ahead and finish that off. Secret Invasion is on my list, and that is horrible. That's so terrible to really do what they did to Colby Smulders, and also as well to Samuel L. Jackson, absolutely, and Ben Mendelsohn, Ben Mendelsohn. It's just absolutely terrible. Clark, she, all this entire cast was wasted on this putrid story, absolutely terrible, and just something you set up. A lot of people were excited for Secret Invasion, thought this was going to be really cool, and they absolutely blew it. Absolutely blew it. It was terrible.
I think I agree with you in the fact that I completely forgot that I was going to watch that show.
Yep. There you go. Your famous ad that I have as far as the promo for The Last Skywalker. Yes, there you go. Absolutely. Yes, that is still probably the best laugh we've ever had on this show. I do want to go ahead and mention and give a big shout out to one of the worst things in pop culture, something that is no more. The Day Before. The game came out to so much hype as far as coming out, as far as awards and advanced look, and thought it'd be something where it'd be like DayZ meets, you know, some, you know, the open world aspect of it, as far as, you know, zombie horror, reaching a survival game, is, you know, The Division, as far as from Ubisoft and some other games that it was going to be like, and the people were really excited about it and the looks, and just started getting away. The closer it got to the supposed time frame was going to be at, as far as release concerned, it looked like it was incurring some problems and more problems and more problems. Turns out behind the scenes, it was financial problems. So by the time they rushed it out there, it was really a bad product. Lasted a few days, got huge negative reviews, huge amount of refunds, and it was pulled off the Steam store and the company's out of business. So yes, the day before, got a 1 on IGN, and I think it's still, that's even too high of a score for it right now. So yes, if you,
what a waste if you think about it. Like, if they would have just held off on it and not tried to make a quick profit off of it, just like the was the Redfall on Xbox. Like, mm-hmm. what a waste. Both of those get Redfall, I hear, is slowly getting better, but what
it's
a
too
waste.
Late. It's too late for that game.
Too late. Yeah, the bad will has already gone out the door. What is this one called again?
The day before.
The day before, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking 7 days to die. But yeah, no, the day before, like, what a, like, it looked, the, yeah, you're right. The in the trailers and all the video stuff they showed, like, it looked great. If they would have just held off and waited until it was actually ready to go to market, it could have been an entirely different story. Because as they know, the internet has no mercy. So don't put something out if you think that it sucks.
Yep, I agree. I want to go ahead and mention also as well, give continued bad annoyances to other stuff in the world of pop culture. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm so sad to say it, but I was so hyped for this movie. But Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny does deserve its bomb status. It is how you do not do a final Indiana Jones movie, as far as this can kill the series. I'm sure they'll bring it back. In fact, we'll talk about the video game revival of Indiana Jones and how much better it is in my predictions coming up here later in the show. But Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is not how you do Harrison Ford justice. It is absolutely terrible. It is something that I don't know why they chose the way that they chose as far as what they needed to do with the plot. It was absolutely contrived, and you waste a good villain turn by Mads Mikkelsen. You waste good key components there for a really good story to tell, and they just absolutely blew it, Josh.
I've been curious about it. I haven't actually sat down to watch it, but is it worse than the Crystal Skull? Because the Crystal Skull was pretty bad. It was pretty awful.
Crystal Skull is corny bad. It is really corny bad. It, you know, including the Shia LaBeouf through the vines, Tarzan yell and all that. I remember that distinctly. That was terrible. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is just, the story is bad. It is really bad in the storytelling. It's not hokey. It's just bad in its storytelling. It's like, why are you going here? Why are you going back to this time? Why are you doing this? Why are you... Yeah, it looks like it could have gone in a completely different direction that would have made it much more enjoyable, Josh, and they chose not to do it. You can't say they cheapened out, because it cost $300 million to make. So yeah, it's absolutely was terrible, and shame on them for destroying that Indiana Jones character on screen. But there's a revival coming up later in the show I'll talk about that could save it, Indiana Jones, for now. Asteroid City, I'm usually a Wes Anderson, not as far as movies for him. I really love a lot of his movies. I know this was on a lot of top 10, top 20 lists. It wasn't for me. This one, unfortunately, the star-studded cast is probably the most heavily star-studded cast of any movie in 2023. And they didn't know what to do with it. And it just seemed like it was just like, he wanted to be quirky. We understand Wes Anderson's quirky, but unfortunately this movie is just way too quirky even for itself. It tries to, it thinks it's too smart. It thinks it's smarter than it actually is. And unfortunately it's just didn't work for me. Also, go ahead, Josh. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think that happens a lot. Like, especially with Wes Anderson, like the more you get lauded for making a clever film, like, the more your films become incomprehensible. And I think a lot of stars are driven to Wes Anderson films because of the award potential that his movies have always had.
I will tell you, though, also as well, I agree with Josh. The dumpster fire known as Fast X, when I went back to Universal Studios for the, I don't know, seventh or eighth time, and I actually sat through the actual cool best part is the tour, the Universal Studios tour, Josh. And you actually go through the simulator for the Fast X part of the, or the Fast and Furious part of the tour. And you go through that simulation part in it. And while that, when that's better than the entire movie of Fast X, that tells you something. And tells you how unenjoyable that movie is. That, I mean, I've already been complaining for years how terrible these stories on these Fast movies are, and how incomprehensible that they all are, as far as, oh, people die, they come back, nothing makes ever sense, they never tie up plot holes or anything like that. They tried to tie up one plot loop and put Jason Momoa and tie him to an earlier Fast movie, and then basically they just went off from there, and it just absolutely was ridiculous from the get-go. And yeah, I'm just I have to see it before the show, but I'm not enjoying any more. I have not enjoyed my time in a Fast and Furious movie in years, and that's sad. And that's really sad.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, the last enjoyable Fast and Furious movie for me was the fourth one, and I think that's just because Vin Diesel and Paul Walker got back together. Yeah, I the Fast and Furious movies, they're like the Kingdom Hearts of movies. You know, nothing makes sense in them.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials?
If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games. I want to ask you this, though. When it comes right down to it, there were more bad movies, my friend, and more bad stuff that was going on in the world of pop culture for 2023, in my opinion. Once again, it is Gerald Glassford, and also as well, my good friend, Mr. Josh Peterson as well. Truly appreciate you joining us. Mortal Kombat 1. What do you say, Gerald? That was a critically lauded game. Why are you going ahead and going after that? Try the Switch version. Melinda and I laughed for 15 minutes on the show talking about the Mortal Kombat Switch version, which, if you see the visuals on that, you will understand why. It is absolutely wretched, and I have no idea who at NeverRealm approved of it, or whoever approved of it as far as Warner Brothers. You don't let this junk go out. It forever, how many good things you can say about Mortal Kombat 1 on every other platform, the Switch version just like brings it all down.
That happens like every time the Switch puts out a game that is more high powered on other consoles. So I'm curious if when the Switch 2 comes out, if they're going to continue to have that problem, with this generation of Sony and Xbox consoles.
Speaking of video games, man, we need to start a drive to go ahead and see if we can make our own Lord of the Rings game, my friend, because the two games that came out for Lord of the Rings, Gollum and Mines of Moria, absolutely wretched, absolutely just terrible. And it takes this IP and just throws in the trash. And that's terrible because there's so much history and so much lore. You could really do, we've seen Lord of the Rings games be really, really good, my friend, over the years, over the decades. And yet Gollum and Mines of Moria, both misfires and both terrible ones at that.
Yeah, I think Tolkien's grandkids are getting greedy with with his copyrights and letting other people have a go at them. I think it's kind of watering down and wrecking the good name that is the Lord of the Rings.
I will tell you now, though, it comes down to my final three. I gave a final five, my top five of the best of pop culture, which you can catch on the PC Multiverse. Here's my lowest three, the lowest of the low, my friend, for the year of 2023. I'm going to start with the third lowest, and that is Renfield. Renfield with Nicolas Cage and Nicholas Hoult, whatever Nicholas you want to say. This was just I can't believe I'm watching this Dredge. I mean, their relationship between each other and the dynamic could have really worked if it would have been a better setting and a better plot, but it was absolutely abysmal. Awkwafina, I'm sorry, she just did not fit in this film as far as the comedic value. It did not work. Nothing was funny. Nothing was good. Everything was overdone. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Renfield, I can tell you strongly, it was an absolutely terrible movie. And Nicolas Cage, I understand he must owe a lot of people a lot of money over the years. That's why he was on Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, to use the film pun on that. But yes, he has done a lot of work that he's been proud of over the past few years, but he's done also direct like this. But this was one of the higher profile releases for him in the past couple of years, and this was a big miss in Renfield.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are excited about this. It got an audible buzz going around the internet.
Yeah, buzz I'd give it. I'll leave it there.
It fell short, it sounds like. But I mean, to him, that's kind of just like a drop in the hat, right? He'll move on to his next project.
Oh, he's already has. Yeah, man. I mean, he actually had a lot of consideration for Oscars for another performance in the year that he's had, and other stuff that he's done in 2023. So he moves on from Renfield. He'll live. Nicholas Hoult will live on in Awkwafina. Their careers are not sabotaged in any way by the horror movie for altogether different reasons than Renfield.
Yeah, and they'll all be fine.
They'll all be fine. But you talked to me the other day about The Flash. And The Flash was something that I also got a chance recently to see. And The Flash, unfortunately for me, was, I think, an epitome of what the DCEU was all about. Just missed opportunities. Bad. Mind-numbingly bad. 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 And the fact that the CGI at times looked absolutely terrible. The jokes were awful. There's a infant jokes that are really just ill-mannered and I think inappropriate. I thought they were really... It was absolutely just from the start to the end, terrible. Ezra Miller, you know, his steal as far as playing the Flash might have been good in Justice League, you know, as far as a, you know, wisecracking guy that gets in a few lines here and there. Don't give him the role for the entire movie. That was absolutely terrible. Then he had to play himself opposite himself, and that was absolutely double the worse, double the bad. And then the fact that you get all these Batmans. You miss all these Batmans being on there because they're all on there not too much, and they're all better than what you see from, you know, Ezra Miller. And you see Jason Momoa in an end scene. You don't know why the end scene exists because it really doesn't do anything, but you miss him even more. Then you watch Aquaman, and, well, I don't want to go into Aquaman, but then you see Gal Gadot, like, in the beginning of it, and you just wonder what could have been had someone really done the DCEU right. And unfortunately, it's about what could have been done right, what could have been done a lot better. Certainly wasn't The Flash. I think it's just the epitome of a bad run by DCEU with the second Shazam, with the Blue Beetle, with all these DCEU movies that have come out in the past couple of years. They've all been trash. And this is the trashiest of the trash, my friend.
Yeah, it's kind of a patchwork film from what I understand. Like, I really wish that I could have seen what the original vision was for The Flash. Like, what was it meant to be versus what came out of it? Because I know, when they announced James Gunn taking over, they retooled a lot of scenes and they reshot a lot of things and removed a lot of things that were originally supposed to be in there. So I wonder if the original film was a lot better than what we got.
Can't be any worse, my friend. It cannot be any worse. I will leave it at that. But before we get to our predictions, wanted to give you my final thing. I have a horror movie on tap as my number one worst of pop culture for 2023. And it's a movie I think you said you saw, and that's Five Nights at Freddy's. Nights at Freddy's. Absolutely horrible for someone. If you're not into FNAF, don't watch this movie. If you're into FNAF, you can get through the movie because it goes through a lot of the lore that you might be interested in and all that stuff. That's great. If you're not, if you're just a casual standby, Absolutely. Your fingernails might actually bend as you're watching it, because this movie is absolutely wretched. Absolutely wretched for anyone that's not into the FNAF culture. And there you go. I'll leave it.
Yeah, I think that it
is very aware of itself. Yeah,
pretty
absolutely
terrible. Yeah, it's funny because I had a bunch of people. I teach, and a lot of my students had told me, like, hey, you should go watch this. I know nothing about Five Nights at Freddy's. I tried to play the first game, and I got bored because as you're sitting in a security booth the whole time, mm-hmm. I didn't understand the appeal. So I watched this movie. Me and my wife watched this movie, and it was not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's probably sitting at like a 4.5 for me, but it's not great. It's not a horror movie.
It's a horror because I had to watch it.
It's more, I think it tried to classify itself more as like a drama piece than a horror film. And I think
it's PG-13, so it can't do too much.
Right. But I mean, there's been some good PG-13 horror films out there, but I think people were expecting it to be like terrifying, especially with Blumhouse behind it. But I think it fell short of the mark.
Didn't shorten the pocketbook because it made a ton of cash and they're going to make another one. So here in 2 years, you'll have another one. If I sit through it, I might call that bad too, but we'll see. But yes, Five Nights at Freddy's is my worst of pop culture for 2023. If you have a worst of pop culture for 2023, let us know. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. But before we head out, my friend, wanted to get in some predictions for 2023 in pop culture. Go ahead, my friend. You first. What are your predictions for pop culture for 2023?
So I've been thinking on this. I'm pretty sure that they are going to a Fast and the Furious spinoff that is going to create a bunch of Fast and the Furious spinoffs. Like, it'll be The Bridge. I think that they are going to redo The Hunger Games. We're going to see the next Harry Potter announced. And New Line is going to announce a Lord of the Rings film that probably nobody wants to see. That's my movie predictions right there.
Coming out the Xbox Developer Direct, I know you said you saw it. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is going to be the surprise of the year. It's going to be a massive hit for Xbox. It just looks like it could reinvigorate and it can undo a lot of the damage Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny did.
Envisioning good things for this game. You think we're going to be seeing anything from Halo or Gears here by year's end?
June. When they do the direct in June, I think they'll announce a Halo or Gears then. I think Gears 6 will come and be announced in June.
You would think Sinwa's Saga Hellblade 2 looks
beautiful.
Cool. It looks beautiful. Yeah, but I was really bummed. What is this no physical media business? I hate it.
Well, it's only $50 and 8 hours long, my friend. So around 8 hours long.
Hey, I gladly paid that for it because the first one came in like a really nice slip cover. And, it was like having a first edition book. I loved it.
Well, I just think it's the way that it's going, unfortunately. But I mean, it came out after the initial release. It did not come out right away. So there's a chance, you never know, if there's enough demand for it, you could see a release for it. So we'll see. But I know a lot of people are worried about the length. And I think that's 8 to 10 hours for that type of environment might be a good thing. We'll see what happens. But May 21st for that. The last thing I want to go ahead and predict is going to be around May. And that is Deadpool 3 will be the year's top box office film. I think it will reinvigorate people's love for Marvel. And I think they understand exactly how much weight is upon the shoulders of this film to succeed at Disney and Marvel.
It's going to make a lot of superhero fans happy. It's going to anger a lot of Martin Scorsese's and Robert Zemeckis's out there.
Oh, well, they'll have to deal with it because that's probably who they're going to target in part of the movie as well. So everybody will be fair game in that movie, that's for sure. But Josh, great to have you here. HappyHoarderCollectibles.com. And of course, Whatnot, look for that as well. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
No, man. I think that just about does it. We're kind of careening into 2024 right now. So I'd be curious to see like what's going to be announced, what things we have to look forward to. Because, most of what we talked about before is the MCU being retooled, so we don't really know what's coming out as far as like superhero movies, and even the video game industry is kind of shaky right now as far as pinning release dates on things. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We'll see, my friend, but we'll always be able to report it here. And I'm so glad that you're doing it with me right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the Pop Culture Cosmos. Thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great